My email is gregospeck@gmail.com, and write me, and I promise you that I will write you back. We've been on a journey and talking about what it means to live for Jesus. And now I just want to conclude by talking about going home to live for Jesus. Going home to live for Jesus, and what are some essentials as you head home? And I'm just going to talk about three this evening. Number one is, I want you to remember, don't depend on your feelings. Don't depend on your feelings. Maranatha is a wonderful place, and it's a place where you sense the presence of God. The good news is when you leave Maranatha, Jesus leaves with you. When you get off at your house, Jesus gets off with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, Jesus is there. And emotions are great and emotions are wonderful, but they really can't be sustained. Do you remember back when you were teenagers? Do you remember that? Turn to the person sitting next to you and say to them, I bet you were a very mature teenager. I bet you were a very mature teenager. Do you remember when you were at camp? Remember camp? And remember as a teenager, remember the end of camp? And remember when you made those decisions and you committed to Christ and you were so happy and you were just crying and you were weeping in joy and you went back to your cabins and you stayed up all night and talked? And men, you don't know the secret lives of women, but they would eat whole bags of potato chips but wash them down with a Diet Coke, so it all worked out. And then at about 3 a.m., you fell asleep. And at about 7 a.m., somebody's watch alarm began to go off in the cabin. And of course, oh well, you wouldn't have had watch alarms. So a little alarm clock began to go off in the cabin. And of course, everybody in the cabin heard the alarm clock except the person who owned the alarm clock. So after about 3 minutes of that obnoxious beeping, you decided to get up. You roll out of bed, forgetting you're in the upper bunk. But thankfully, right beneath you, God has supplied, because your counselor is getting up at the same time and their body breaks your fall. You wander into the bathroom. You've got these gigantic eye boogers. Your breath could stop a charging rhino. And you know what? You just don't feel real excited. You don't feel real fired up. You don't feel all warm and fuzzy. You don't feel Jesus. Does that mean somehow he's deserted you? Does that mean that the night before was just a joke or a lie? And the answer is absolutely not. Your faith in Jesus Christ can never be based upon how you feel at any certain time. Your faith in Jesus Christ is based upon the facts of God's Word. And God's Word is true no matter how you feel. And here's a verse that you can claim and hang on to as you head home. It's found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money. Man, we talked about that last night. Do not hope in money. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. When you feel Jesus, Jesus is there. When you don't feel Jesus, Jesus is there. When you're having a good day, Jesus is there. When you're having a hard day, Jesus is there. Let everybody else be unfaithful. Jesus says, I am faithful to you. And I will be there, and you can count on that no matter how you feel. Imagine. What would happen if you ate every single day every single day. Every single day, the way you eat at Thanksgiving. No, that'd be ridiculous. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, other than the turkey, what is your favorite food at Thanksgiving? Tell the person next to you. Well, look, Thanksgiving is wonderful. And you've got, you know, you've got turkey and you've got mashed potatoes and you got sweet potatoes and you've got potatoes au rotten and you've got vegetables and you've got pecan pie and you got apple pie and you got pumpkin pie and you've got all this amazing stuff and you enjoy it. But you don't expect to eat that way every single day. Every once in a while, Jesus will give you a Thanksgiving of feelings where you will sense His presence and you will embrace that, you will enjoy that, but you don't expect to feel that way every single day. I want you to commit to loving Jesus no matter how you feel. To going home to live for Jesus means you are about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. That's a decision only you can make. And I'm going to call you to commit to Christ, and I'm going to call you to love Him and follow Him and not depend upon your feelings. Second thing I want you to do, number two, is I want you to walk with God. I want you to go home and I want you to spend time with Him. Turn to the person next to you and answer these questions. It's yes or no, so you got a 50% chance of getting this right. Turn to the person next to you. If you go home after this week and you spend every single day with Jesus, at the end of 30 days, will Jesus love you more than He loves you right now? Tell the person next to you, yes or no. If you go home from Maranatha and for the next 30 days you never spend time with Jesus, at the end of 30 days, will Jesus love you less than He loves you right now? Yes or no? And the answer to both of those questions is no. Now, sometimes when I tell teenagers that, teenagers look at me and they say this.
Well, then, I don't get it. Well, then, like, why read my Bible? Then, like, why pray? Like, I don't get it. And this is what I say to them. I do not read my Bible so that God will love me. I read my Bible because I love God. I do not seek to pray so that Jesus will love me. I pray because I love Jesus. I want you to go home from here. I want you to walk with God, not because you have to, not because you're supposed to, not because you're going to get any brownie points. Just do it because you love Him. Just do it because you have a relationship with Him. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. And how do you learn to walk as Jesus did? You spend time with Him. You develop a relationship with Him. Look, you're probably sitting by somebody you like, right? I hope. You're probably sitting by somebody you like. Turn to them, say, I like you.
I like you. That's good. That's a good thing. You're sitting by somebody you like. What is it that really develops your relationship? Now, there's a lot of things, but let me tell you one overarching thing. It's time. You are spending time together. Now, do you do the same thing when you're together every single day? Every single day, do you go bowling? No. You do different stuff. You spend time together doing different stuff. I want to suggest to you that sometimes in our relationship with Christ, we can get into a rut. Just doing the same thing with Him day after day after day after day after day. And I want to suggest variety is good. Variety is good. Look, spending time in the Word is essential. This is to your spiritual growth what food is to your physical growth. So yes, I recommend the Word of God. Often you're spending time in the Word of God. But there are other things you can do to spend time with God. Do you know what you can do? You can put on some Christian music and you can sing along with that Christian music and lift your voice to Him. That can be your devotional time. That can be your time with God. And can I tell you something? That can be every bit as fulfilling as reading this word. Because you are meeting with God Himself and having a personal encounter with Him. You can do that through the reading of the Word. You can do that through singing and worshiping Him. Spend some time in worship. Spend some time in thanksgiving. Turn back to the person next to you and tell them, what is the difference between thanksgiving and worship? Go. Tell them, what's the difference? Thanksgiving is thanking God for what He's done. Worship is thanking God for who He is. I want to suggest to you that many of us spend little time worshiping God. Saying thank you that you are the great I am. Thank you that you are all powerful. Thank you that you are eternal, that you are righteous. Thank you that you are the bread of life and the way and the truth and the life. And thank you that you're the resurrection. And thank you that you are the door. And thank you that you're the Lion of Judah. Thank you that you know all things. And thank you that you can be all places at once. And thank you and thank you. Try worshiping Him. That is an awesome way to connect with God, is to worship Him. He dwells in the presence of worship. Do that. Take a walk and just think of 50 to 100 things you can thank God for. You should be able to come up with that. 50 to 100 things you can thank God for, and just take a walk and thank Him. I want you to spend time with Jesus. Variety is good, but the one thing in common of all these things is we are focused in on Jesus Christ. How many of you can still run? Raise your hands. You still can run. All right, this illustration is for you. The rest of you, you are off the hook. I talked to Gary ahead of time, took the liberty of bringing with me 50 pairs of Air Jordans because Michael and I are pretty good friends, and he just donated these. And I've got your shoe size from Gary, because that was part of when you registered. We got your shoe size. So I got your shoe size from Gary, and we have put the shoes in boxes out on the lawn. They're in alphabetical order. And right now, I'm going to dismiss you who can still run. I want you to go back there. All different color shoes. Shoes probably cost $250 plus. It's just, you know, Michael's gift to you. Go find those pair of shoes, slip them on. So we all get up, we exit, we go, we find our shoes, we slip them on. I say, okay, good job. Now, everybody get in a line right here. You all line up out on the grass. I go, now, I'm going to fire this gun, and I want you to run for me 100 yards. All right, here we go. I believe all of you in here who have the ability to run, I believe you could run 100 yards. Some of you, man, you'd run that in 10 seconds. Others of you, 10 minutes. But you could run 100 yards. All right, good job, good job. High five. Woo! Oh, we can't do that. High elbows. Woo! Okay, so now I'd say, now, line up again. You'd all line up again. I go, now, I'm going to fire this gun, and I want you to run for me over 26 miles without stopping. I want you to run for me a marathon. Ready? I'd shoot that gun, and immediately three quarters of us would just go face down on the grass, because we'd say, forget it. There's no way I could run over 26 miles without stopping. Friends, listen. Anybody can run a sprint, but to run a marathon, you got to train, you got to practice, you got to develop yourself. That is true physically. That is also true spiritually. God has not called us to a sprint. God has not called us to live for Him for a day or a week or a month or even a year, but for a lifetime. And that's a marathon. And to be ready for that, we've got to develop ourselves and draw near to God. And His promise is He will draw near to us. Go home and spend time with Jesus. I would encourage you, dads, you who still have kids in the house, how about doing some family devotions? That could be a sweet thing. And I want to remind you that less is more. Less is more. Less is more. If you gather your family and say, all right, I'm going to read the book of Leviticus, it's going to kill family devotions. Just a couple of verses, ask a question, that's it. But it's good for us as a family to walk with God. It's good as us as individuals that we walk with God. It's good that we encourage one another. Number one, don't depend on your feelings. Number two, walk with God. And lastly, number three, make a difference. Just make a difference. We are living in such crazy times. And we need men and women who are going to make a difference. I believe that God is going to raise up men and women in whom His Spirit will work in and through in powerful ways. Be open to what the living God wants to do in and through you. Be willing to make a difference. And can I remind you of your great commission? Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them at Maranatha. I actually added at Maranatha. Then Jesus came to them at Maranatha and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. God wants to use you. I want you to stop making excuses for your bad behavior. Stop making excuses for your bad behavior. All of us struggle. All of us have issues. I want to say that some individuals who are being used in some of the greatest ways by God have some of the biggest issues. You know, for some reason, we have thought in the past, here is a great speaker, here's a great missionary, here's a great pastor. God is using them in incredible ways. They probably have little or no issues. And I want to suggest to you, it's just the opposite. Do you know why that is? Because those issues keep them close to the cross. Because they understand how much they need Jesus. And they understand how they are one step away from doing something stupid. And they acknowledge with their mouths, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you. Stop making excuses for your bad behavior. Get close to Jesus. Come back to the cross. Let Him cleanse you. Let Him renew you. Let Him set you free to be what He has created you to be. And then go out there and make a difference for Him. I'd like you to begin to pray for a non-Christian friend. If you don't have a non-Christian friend, you might want to pray that God brings a non-Christian friend into your life and pray for them. And here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take a little post-it note, put their name on it, and put it on the mirror. So every time you look in the mirror, you see that post-it note, and just pray for them. Just pray for them. Just say, Lord Jesus, please, 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 God, I ask that I would be able to spend eternity with this person. Would you please save them? And Lord, I'm available if you want to use me. I'm available if you want me to talk to them. Lord Jesus, please use me. And pray for them. You understand there's only one thing you can take to heaven with you. Just one thing. And that's your friends. That's it. So this afternoon, as I was getting ready to come over here, I was flipping through my Instagram account. I have mostly teenagers on Instagram. And I get to a picture of a girl, and she has written under the picture, I'm slipping back into that dark place. So I messaged her. Anytime I read stuff like that, I'll just message a student. I messaged them and I said, have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? And she wrote me back and she said, yes, but I am far from Him. And I said to her, well, let's get back to Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, a pandemic is no reason why you should not be encouraging one another spiritually. A pandemic is no excuse for not using some of the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you to reach out. And we may not be able to reach out in person, but we can reach out over social media, or we can reach out over the iPhone, or we can reach out over the hardline phone in your home, or you can do Morse code, whatever you are still doing in your home. And you can continue to reach out to others and seek to make a difference. We're all in this together. I mean, we just need to make it clear to people, nobody's better than anybody else. I mean, honestly, do not raise your hand. Do you think you're better than the other people sitting in this tabernacle? I do not have that illusion at all. Not at all. I fall in a lot of areas. I do a lot of stupid things, but not for a second would I consider myself better than anybody else. We're all in the same boat. We all need Jesus. So just let Him work in and through you to make a difference in your world. We've sought to make a difference now at the hospitals in Africa and the Philippines, and I'm proud of you, and that is awesome. Now focus in on your world, your town, your state, your community, your house. Seek to make a difference in these people's lives. And I want to tell you again, the Holy Spirit is ready to work through you beyond anything you could ask or even imagine. When I was, when I first became a Christian, I'm playing football, and I play tight end, and a good friend of mine, Ham Ellicott, he plays running back. And one day I'm sitting in the locker room with Ham Ellicott, and we're just talking. And I'm just excited about Jesus, because I'm a brand new Christian. And you know brand new Christians, they're dangerous. Because they're excited, but they don't know anything. So I started telling Ham Ellicott about Jesus. And I'm telling you, without a doubt, it was, in the history of the world, the worst gospel presentation ever. Rabbit trails all over this, that, nothing flowed, nothing fit together. And at the end of this rambling presentation, I looked at Ham and I said to Ham, would you like to pray with me and ask Jesus in your heart? And Ham Ellicott said, yes. Now, come on. If God can use that, God can use anything. Ham went on to work with the FBI. It's good to have a friend that works with the FBI. Ham and I would exchange Christmas cards, and one year I got a card from Ham, and I still have it somewhere. And he writes on the card and says, hey, thanks for staying in touch, and it was good seeing your family, and hey, thanks for being a friend, and yada, 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 and he signs it, and at the bottom he writes, P.S. But most of all, thanks for introducing me to Jesus. How great is that? How awesome is that? That has nothing to do with me. That's the Spirit of God choosing to use me. And the same Spirit that chooses to use me is the same Spirit that chooses to use you. The only difference between me back then and you now is you are better prepared than I was. So just rest on the Spirit of God and be willing to say, Lord, use me. And God will do that very thing. He will use you. And can I just ask you just to be kind? Just to be kind to others. Kindness goes a long way. Kindness really makes a difference. Too many of us complain all the time. We are whiners and complainers. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm so glad you are not a whiner or complainer. Tell them that. Your kindness will change a person's day. Your kindness will open them to the Spirit of God. Your kindness will make a difference in their lives in wonderful ways. So my friends, I want you to go home and I want you to live for Jesus. Allow other people to help you and encourage you. Do you have an accountability partner? Men, do you have an accountability partner? Do you have a man that you meet with or talk with that helps keep you on the straight and narrow? Women, do you have an accountability partner? I'm telling you, that is really important, and especially today, just to keep us on the right track. Somebody that will ask us the hard questions, and God will use them in our lives. And I encourage you to pray about that and pray about getting somebody who will speak into you. Go from here. Don't depend on your feelings. Walk with God and make a difference. Be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. What if you decided for the next, say, month, see how it goes. What if you decided for the next month you wouldn't post anything negative on social media? What if just for the next month it was just all encouragement? Share some scripture. Speak life into people. Share how much you care. Tell them how much you love Jesus. How about that for the next 30 days? And at the end of 30 days, make a decision, and maybe you'll want to do it for another 30 days. And just maybe, God will begin to use things like that, your faithfulness, to make a difference in your world. Okay, let's pray. Well, your heads are bowed. If you would say to me, Greg, I really do want to go home to make a difference, would you pray for me? I'd like to pray a special prayer for you right now. And I will not be able to see all of this because it'll happen too quickly, but the great news is Jesus will see this. So if you'd like me to pray for you, you want to go home, to not depend on your feelings, to walk with Him, to make a difference, just lift your hand up right now and then just put it right back down. Just lift it up. You're saying, Jesus, here am I. Here am I. I'll be your man. I'll be your woman. I want to do that. That is awesome. Hands up all over everywhere. Thank you. Jesus, you have seen those hands raised to you. And God, these are people that are on a journey just like I am. And Lord, you know they do some things really well and they do other things really poorly. But God, I pray that you would draw them close to yourself and that you would fill them and control them. I pray that you would cleanse them. And I pray that you would empower them to do things beyond what they could have imagined. And I ask God that you would begin to work through them. And I pray that the next few months would be some of their greatest months ever in their relationship with you. I pray you would bind the enemy from them. I command the enemy to silence. And I forbid the enemy from touching them or speaking to them. Lord, will you please get rid of the enemy right now? And Lord, set them free and give them a vision of what you would like to do in and through them. And I pray we would stop looking at the pandemic as something so negative And I pray that we would begin to look at it as creative ways in which we can minister and love and care for those around us. God, would you please raise up for them non-Christian friends? And would you please use them to speak the good news into those non-Christian friends? And Lord, it would be my prayer, my desire in faith, that those non-Christian friends would respond to you, to know you as Savior and to know you as Lord. Thank you for this week. Thank you for Maranatha. I pray your richest blessing upon this camp. And I pray and I ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.